Freedom4Radio.com.
When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th to learn more.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
ForRadio.com.
Get your smile on with Dr. Joel Gold, your peek into oral health, cosmetic dentistry, and wellness solutions from Modern American Dentistry.
All right, everybody. Hello out there. Welcome to Get Your Smile On. I am Dr. Joel Gould, your wellness dentist. Tonight, I'm very excited by our guest. As usual, we're broadcasting from beautiful Manhattan Beach, California. And tonight's guest is a little bit of a departure from where we've been on the past couple of episodes. We're going to leave sleep apnea and vitamin D issues, and we are going to move back into more of the dental realm. I'm very excited to announce my guest for tonight. It is Dr. David Eisen. And Dr. David Eisen is a graduate of the University of Toronto with a Bachelor of Science in Neuroscience. He is a graduate of the University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario, Canada, where he got his Doctor of Dental Surgery degree. And since then, he received advanced training at Montefiore Medical Center in New York for intravenous sedation. Now, that sounds kind of scary, but we're going to actually break all that down and let everybody know that what tonight's episode is about is sleep for dentistry. We're talking about sedation and family dentistry and the idea that there are people out there, shocking, who are really just too afraid to go to the dentist without some form of sedation. So as a general dentist, I do some sedation, and I tend to stay away from the more difficult cases because in my office, we're not really set up to handle these particular difficult cases. There are specific dentists who really focus on that, and Dr. Eisen is one of those dentists. So before I bring him on, I also have to put a disclaimer on here. I'm also a graduate of the University of Western Ontario, and I just so happened to graduate the same year as Dr. Eisen in 1991. And in fact, Dr. Eisen was and is a close personal friend of mine. And not only is he a talented sedation dentist, but he's also an incredible orator and lecturer. And he travels around the world lecturing on different topics that are related to dental anesthesia. He's a very interesting guy and a great speaker. And without any further ado, Dr. Eisen, are you there?
Hello. Thank you, Dr. Gould, for the wonderful introduction.
All right. I think that since we are good friends for many, many years, having both been in practice coming up on 25 years, which is shocking. You can't tell from the sound of your voice. I'm going to call you David, and feel free to call me Joel.
Well, thank you very much. That's great.
Okay. Well, so I want to start at the beginning. And, I know how and why you got into dentistry, but I want to sort of talk about how you became aware of and got into the whole issue of sedation dentistry. Refresh my memory and let's let our listeners know, what does a dentist do to sort of discover that that's something they're interested in?
So back in the early 90s, when we graduated from dental school, sleep dentistry and even dental anesthesia as a possible specialty wasn't really well known or thought of by the vast majority of dental practitioners. So when I left dental school, I had no idea that there was this sort of subspecialty or sort of niche type of practice where you could actually cater to people who have fear or medical issues. And in fact, it was only by chance that as an associate I started working for a very well-established dental anesthesiologist, a fellow by the name of Dr. Mel Hawkins, who was my mentor. And I didn't think I was getting into a dental anesthesia sedation practice. I just thought I was going to be doing general dentistry. I called on him. He needed an associate. It was close to where I lived, and it looked like a great place for me to practice. Well, my first case was this young 21 or 22-year-old woman who needed a buccal pit restored on a lower first molar, and she was terrified. And Dr. Hawkins came in and started an intravenous and sedated her, and I'm looking at what's going on here. This woman needs a buccal pit restoration, and you're putting her to sleep for this minor procedure. And that's how it all started. And then slowly, my ignorance was quelled, and I came to learn that these people won't come to the dentist. They won't get treatment done, the vast majority of them who are truly phobic, unless there's some sort of help for them. And sedation is one type of method to get these people through these difficult times for them. So that I learned it. I found out about it by mistake, and I sort of fell upon it.
Okay, that's pretty fascinating. Now, for everybody listening, I know we've had some international guests, and you have your practices in Toronto, Canada, and I'm pretty sure everybody listening knows where that is. So we're really happy to have you on. And I want to talk about a couple of different things, and I want my listeners to understand the different types of dental anesthesia that one can have. And so maybe let's just start at the beginning of the ones that people really know very well. And that's just plain old Novocaine. So my listeners, most of them, I'm sure, have had dental anesthesia. They've had Novocaine. As the expert that you are, is there anything that you would say just to the general public, explain how Novocaine works briefly and what it's all about?
So Novocaine really is a misnomer. Novocaine is an old type of local anesthetic. The newer local anesthetics that we use today are they're called lidocaine, articaine, prilocaine. Those are the newer ones that have been around the past 50 or so years. But Novocaine is sort of the generic term that our patients use, the general public use to think about the drug that's injected into our mouths to numb the tissues. So this drug, this local anesthetic drug, actually penetrates through the nerve, and in doing so, it stops something called sodium, an ion, from coming into the nerve. And when sodium cannot come into the nerve can't fire. It can't send a message to the brain. So if the nerve can't send a message to the brain, well, then we don't know that something hurts, or we don't know that something is hot, or we don't know that something is cold, because the nerve is blocked from sending a message. So the goal of Novocaine is to block a nerve from sending a message. And in dentistry, we use that to our advantage to be able to do procedures that would otherwise be painful were it not for the injection of Novocaine in the area that we're doing the operation.
Okay. Well, that's...
And in fact, interestingly enough, before Novocaine, cocaine was used, the first local anesthetic or freezing solution to be injected into the mouth was powdered cocaine, which was dissolved in boiling water. And these dental pioneers in the late 1800s, 1880s, actually used cocaine because cocaine has the same chemical formula as Novocaine, and it works as a local anesthetic in a similar way.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's so many comments that I want to make on that, but I think I'm going to hold back due to the appropriateness of there's so many silly jokes that we can make, but it's very interesting. So, okay. Now, so everyone's aware of the standard, Novocaine. And, here, when I moved from Canada to the U.S., I had to change a lot of the words that I used. In Canada, we would say, I'm going to get you frozen, or are you frozen? And when I first came to California and I said that to my first patient, they looked at me and said, no, I'm not cold at all. I'm fine. And so what's funny is the terminology is very, very different. And, in California, in Canada, we say, we call Novocaine freezing. Which is interesting, but here everyone still calls it Novocaine. That's the usual term. So now, aside from
numb you up.
numb you up. Well, yeah. Well, and you know, it's very different than saying freezing, but there you go, cultural differences. So aside from that, when you have somebody who's nervous, the next rung up on the ladder of anesthesia, would you consider that to be laughing gas, nitrous oxide, or would that sort of be the next step that you would use?
I would say before nitrous oxide, the next run on the ladder would be probably an oral sedative, a single oral sedative.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. So when we're talking about an oral sedative, we're talking about the medications that are the anti-anxiety medications here that would be known as Xanax.
Right.
And okay, so maybe if you want to sort of describe what you use typically and how you use it.
So the oral sedatives, really, I like to call them anxiolytics because the purpose of giving somebody an oral drug shouldn't be to have them fall asleep. It's not really a safe way to use these drugs. They're not meant to give us a sleeping patient. They're meant to remove people's anxieties and allay some of their fears to make it easier for them to walk into the dental office and or the dental operatory and get treatment done. But if they fall asleep, it's usually because they've been given too high a dose. It's not really safe to treat somebody who's sleeping after an oral drug, unless the dentist who's using that modality is trained to manage people under deep sedation, because there's a problem with people losing their airway and not breathing properly when they're too deeply sedated from an oral drug. So the typical oral drugs, the oral anxiolytics that are used are they're called benzodiazepines, Valium-type drugs, and the most popular these days is one called triazolam or Halcyon. It's the generic trade and generic name, and that's used to be a very common sleeping pill prescribed by physicians for patients, but it's fallen out of favor for people for sleeping disorders. But as an oral anxiolytic, it's a fantastic and very safe drug because it has something called a short half-life, which means it wears off very quickly. So if we use this drug for our patients 45 minutes before they come into the dental office or the dental chair, then we know they're going to be pretty relaxed, and 3 or 4 hours later, most of the effect of this drug should have worn off, as opposed to something like Valium, which might have a 20 to 30-hour half-life, which lasts for a very long time. And for as long as that half-life lasts, that's how long we're responsible for the patient. So it's good to choose a drug that has a good anxiolytic effect, good at removing anxiety, and also one that doesn't really last for very long.
Okay. I mean, you know, one of the instructions, of course, that we give to our patients is they absolutely cannot drive. So if we're going to be giving a sedation medication, it's very important that they do not get in their car and come to the office, and certainly when they're done with the procedure, we don't want them getting in their car and driving home.
Right. So usually offices that do this on a routine basis have a list of instructions for before the procedure and instructions for after the procedure. And the instructions for before the procedure usually include not driving and not making sure that you have a ride with you. And some people even recommend that you have an empty stomach from solids for 6 hours and clear liquids 2 hours, just in case by mistake somebody is sensitive to the sedative effect, they fall asleep by mistake and they vomit. So it's always safer to have an empty stomach just in case we get too deep of a sedation, because it's unpredictable. And we give somebody an oral drug, we never know how deeply sedated they're going to get.
Sure. Okay. Well, the one thing that was funny, my patients ask when they take that medication, they say, well, you know, is it going to hurt? Like, is this like a pain relief? I'm not going to feel it if I take this drug. And the sad thing is it's actually kind of funny. I say, well, you know, the procedure itself, if we give you good Novocaine, it shouldn't hurt. But the idea is if it actually hurts, you really just won't care. And it kind of takes the edge off of the general anxiety that people feel coming to the dentist. And so I really love, you know, using this medication on people who are nervous. So I think it works great.
Excellent.
All right. Okay, so we're going to take a short commercial break here to let our sponsors be able to get their message across, and we'll be right back. So hang on.
ForRadio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. to join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th at 7 p.m.
ForRadio.com.
All right, and we're back. Dr. Eisen, are you still with us up in Canada?
I'm still here. I haven't run away yet.
Okay, good. All right, so that's going to bring us, I guess, to the next type of sedation in dentistry, and that is what people know as laughing gas or nitrous oxide.
Right.
Now, the funny thing that I remember from dental school is, you know, as we take these different pharmacology lectures and they tell us what the mechanism of action is for all of these different drugs, I'll never forget, you know, flipping the page in the pharmacology book and getting to nitrous oxide, and it says mechanism of action, pause, unknown. And I love that because, great, we're going to let somebody inhale a bunch of gas and we really don't know how and why it works. Now, that was almost 30 years ago. So what can you tell us about nitrous oxide, and do we know how it works now?
So you've got a great memory from dental school. I can't remember anything. That's impressive. Yeah, no, it still holds true. Nitrous oxide, we don't really know how the anxiolytic sedative effect of nitrous oxide works. But it's a fascinating drug. Arguably, maybe the longest drug in medicine. It's been around since the mid-1840s, even arguably the safest drug in medicine, because we don't metabolize nitrous oxide. What we breathe in is what we breathe out, and there's no such thing as a nitrous oxide allergy. So for those two reasons, unless somebody uses it, unless somebody abuses it, doing something or doing harm with nitrous oxide is really unheard of. It's a fantastic drug when used properly.
And is that something that you use on a regular basis with your patients?
I use nitrous oxide routinely because I prefer nitrous oxide over an oral anxiolytic because of the control it gives me. Unlike oral drugs, with nitrous oxide, we can titrate. We can go to the exact level that a patient requires. So keep going until they're comfortable. And if it's a little bit too much, we lessen the dose. If it's not enough, we increase the dose. Unlike the oral anxiolytic, where it's a one-shot deal. You give it, cross your fingers, and hope for the best. So nitrous oxide does give us the most control. Now, the downsides with it are that not everybody really likes the feeling of the nasal hood. Some people feel a little bit claustrophobic. And also, people don't always like the feeling. It's almost, you know, the feeling of being stoned isn't really pleasurable for everybody. So some people would rather not have it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I we don't. You know, what's funny is that I've, you know, practiced in two different countries in many different offices, and there's a really huge variety of, you know, how this medication is used. We don't use it routinely at all in any of my offices. And it's funny because in the areas that I practice in, it's not requested very often. And, it, you know, to me, I don't love it because I'm not used to, on a regular basis, working on people's mouths because they've got the big nasal cover there. And to me, it gets in my way because I like to work some sort of from behind the patient. But on special request, we do it. And just, you know, not that often. It's not something that is common in this area. Interesting.
Yeah, the other downside, not just that, what you said, but it also takes some time. I mean, there's setup involved, there's equipment involved, and it takes time to titrate, and then it takes some time to lessen the dose and take people off of it. So it's not as fast as an oral drug. There's time involved.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and there's one other issue that I have had is that oftentimes a patient can have a bad experience. And so that's one of the reasons why I don't always love it, especially for the extra nervous patients, because they're the ones who tend to, you know, sometimes just have a very strange reaction, and they have memories of things that maybe didn't actually happen. So we'll file that one away for people, you know, for you to use and for the occasional person for me. So, okay, that's going to bring us on to the sort of more serious type of sedation. So, you know, what can you tell me about, so the next level up, you've got somebody who says, listen, I don't care what you're going to do to me. I just can't face coming to the dentist's office, and there's nothing that you can do that's going to make me happy. Put me out. So what can you tell us about that?
So you got about 15% of the population who are documented as being phobic enough with respect to their dental visit that things like oral anxiolytics or nitrous oxide just won't be enough. They're just too afraid, too scared, and any awareness isn't going to allow them to sit through the dental appointment. So then you have to get into their veins and intravenously administer drugs to the point where they are sedated, and then there are different levels of sedation, conscious, deep, and general anesthesia, which are now called minimal, moderate, and deep general anesthesia. So that would be the next step after nitrous oxide.
Okay, so now do you perform all of those types of sedations in your practice?
Yeah, in our practice we have all of those services available. For general anesthesia, it's something we sort of plan out in advance. It's something we do usually every other Wednesday, for example, and a separate anesthetist would administer the anesthesia. This is a different dentist who's trained to do general anesthesia. Myself or my partner would do the dentistry. So we feel that if you're doing general anesthesia, it's good to have one person doing the anesthesia and another person doing the dentistry. But that's not always the case. In a lot of cases, the dentist can act as both the anesthetist and the operator.
Okay. And then so when you have somebody like that in your office who's doing that, do you also have to have like a registered nurse or a special type of crash cart, or do you actually have a facility that's set up in your office that's set up for general anesthetics?
Right. So once you start getting into any type of sedation, whether it be oral anxiolytics, nitrous oxide, IV sedation, or general anesthesia, the state that you're practicing in or the province that you're practicing in will have a set of guidelines. There'll be state-mandated guidelines. The state American guidelines are based on an ADA document, and this ADA document is the sort of general guidelines, and most states follow it, but other states are more strict, some are a little bit more lenient. Now, these guidelines contain the rules that people must follow, practitioners must follow, and those rules speak to the staff that must be in the room. It speaks to the emergency drugs that must be present, the emergency equipment that must be present, the amount of training that's required to administer the anesthesia, the amount of continuing education that's required, you know, all the things that go into being certified to do what one does. So these guidelines speak to those rules, and they're different everywhere.
Okay. So the difference between, you know, your deep, your general anesthetic, and then your much lighter sedation, you know, do you get to make that choice, or do your patients dictate that?
I try and guide my patients when I meet them and I see what their dental needs are, and speak to them about their past dental history, what their experiences have been in other dental environments, and knowing what their dental needs are. I recommend a type or a level of sedation to them and explain to them why I'm recommending that level, and then I listen to them, and they tell me ultimately what they want. I find that the more control anxious people have, the better they do, even though they sometimes don't want the control because they're so scared. Really, sometimes part of the reason they're scared is because of the lack of control. So I try and give
right.
people as much choice as possible in order to choose the modality of sedation that they will receive with some guidance from me.
Very good. Okay, I like it. Now, this is a question that I would struggle with, because now you do these procedures for people, and I know that even the best dentists in the world will have patients who come back with something that's not right, something needs to be adjusted. How do you deal with these people who've had sedation and come in and need you to go in there and maybe smooth something with a drill? You know, do they have to be sedated to have a minor adjustment?
Yeah, it's a real issue. So we have people in our practice who, even for their hygiene visits, have to be asleep. They won't even get their teeth cleaned without an intravenous anesthetic. For bite adjustments and even for assessing the occlusion during the procedure, assessing the bite during the procedure when people are asleep, it's pretty tricky.
It's tough. Yeah.
So it's not uncommon that people have to come back, and sometimes we use laughing gas to get them over that, or sometimes they just grin and bear it until they have to come back for another sedation, and then we do the adjustments.
Wow. Okay, that's so interesting. Okay, well, I want to sort of pause there and say, you know, you're talking about all the different medications and everything. It brings me back to back in the old days where you and I worked together teaching CPR. And we actually had a question from one of our listeners who let Maria know that they wanted to know, what's it like for us, you know, talking after all these years of going to dental school? and you know what's really fascinating, and I still can't believe that it was in 1991 that we graduated. So I met you in 1987, boy.
Yep.
And the funniest thing for me is that, you know, you and I were really just, you know, best friends in dental school, or at least I thought we
brothers.
Were, unless you were better friends with somebody else. but to me, the years just completely disappear every time I talk to you.
It really feels the
absolutely.
Same way.
Yeah.
No, we were brothers in dental school, and I kept in touch for a long time, and I feel the same way when we speak. It's as though it was just back in 1987.
Right. Well, I don't know about you, but it was a couple of years ago. I had a really horrible, like, dream nightmare. It's probably my sleep apnea. It was probably when I stopped breathing for a while. And I had a dream that I was going into an exam, and it was occlusion. And occlusion is the study of how teeth come together. And it was one of my most dreaded subjects. And there was a book, I think it was Okeson's Occlusion, The Fundamentals of Occlusion. And my dream was I showed up at the exam, and I said, oh, my God, I never read this book. I have absolutely no idea what's on this exam. So I believe I woke up. I'm pretty sure that I read that book. I just maybe don't remember it all. So these things will happen. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on my show. And also thank you. You know, you're really helped me out when, you know, I sometimes when a guest cancels at short notice, I knew that I could count on you to come through, especially, you know, since it's later back east and that, you know, you wouldn't be busy with your kids and everything. But I really appreciate you. You know, we didn't even really talk about all your speaking engagements and that. And maybe we'll have an opportunity to get you back on the show and talk about some other things, because after 25 years in dentistry, I know how much I know. And I know that you know a heck of a lot of stuff. And I think that some of the stuff that you are aware of would be interesting for our listeners another time. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on. I love what you're doing with all the vitamin D issues. I think it's all great stuff. And I wish you luck with everything. And it was an honor to be on your program.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. You have a good night now.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, so this was a departure from you know, how excited I've been getting about the vitamin D sleep apnea stuff, and there's more of that to come, don't you worry. But I thought that was a nice departure. I know that there are so many people out there who really are nervous about going to the dentist, and this is important for me to let you all know that, you know, we do a lot of these sedation procedures at Modern American Dentistry at my three locations. And we don't specialize in it, but we have done, you know, lots of these procedures. So if you are fearful and if you've been avoiding going to the dentist for, you know, for a long time, things have changed a lot. And starting right from the beginning, just the way dentists practice now, the way we give Novocaine and how we treat our patients, it's a lot more humane than maybe some bad experience you had as a child. And don't be afraid. Don't put it off. The sooner you go and see a dentist, the easier it's going to be to fix whatever you have going on. You know that wellness is all about prevention and getting taking care of something before it begins to be a major issue is always a smarter idea. It's less expensive, it's less time in the chair, and it's less pain. All right, so before we end the show, I just want to help to promote what's going on tomorrow. This is October. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I'm very honored to be speaking downtown in Los Angeles at the venue of LA Live, where I will be speaking on this at the same podium where the mayor will be, and I'm looking forward to that. And I will be speaking about my work with the Women of Safe Passage and how domestic violence doesn't have to keep somebody down, and how that, you know, if we can get somebody who's been through a lot happy, comfortable, and smiling, it can change their life to be able to get out there and get a new job and re-establish their life. So tomorrow, anybody who's in the downtown L.A. area and is in the Los Angeles area tomorrow, would love it if you come out to support me and the Women of Safe Passage. And I think it's going to be a really great event. And look for it on my website and some blog posts of some of the video. And tonight I'm going to go home and practice my speech. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me for Get Your Smile On. I want to thank my incredible producer, Maria DiGiovanni. You're the best. And until next week, get your smile on, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold. Keep smiling and tune in next time to listen to Dr. Joel Gold reveal the secrets of cosmetic dentistry and wellness. When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th to learn more.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
ForRadio.com.